Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their meeting last week, councillors chose to move forward with a motion proposing a new maximum temperature bylaw for residential rental units. While landlords in Ontario are required to provide a minimum level of heat, the same obligation does not exist for air conditioning. The motion suggested an amendment to the existing property standards bylaw requiring landlords or property owners of residential units with air conditioning systems to maintain a temperature not exceeding 26 degrees Celsius from June 1st to September 30th. Environmental and health advocates believe the motion did not go far enough, requesting that the requirement extend to rental units that do not already have air conditioning installed. Anne Fu, Commissioner of Environmental Sustainability with the Queen's University Alma Mater Society, made the case for this amendment before council.
While I am grateful that the city has decided to put forward a motion to adopt a maximum allowable temperature in rental units, I'm disappointed to see that the language only applies to rental units that already have air conditioning systems. Many of Kingston's most precarious renters don't live in units with air conditioning systems in the first place and cannot afford to have them installed on behalf of the landlord. This motion won't help them access cooling, nor anyone else who is low income, disabled, or chronically ill, elderly, or supporting a family. I also want to say that although these testimonies are collected from the student district, this likely applies to many other tenants in many other areas of Kingston. We need a bylaw that not only establishes a maximum temperature in rental units, but that does so in a way that doesn't pass the costs on to tenants, and that protects all Kingstonians, regardless of their ability to afford housing and cooling technologies. Through this bylaw, Kingston has a critical opportunity to stand up for the health and safety of its most vulnerable citizens, and become a leader alongside other municipalities in Ontario working towards similar laws, including Toronto and Hamilton.
Councillor Jeff McLaren presented a petition with over 1,500 signatures from environmental organizations Seniors for Climate Action Now and 350 Kingston, urging the province of Ontario to direct landlords to keep temperatures in all rental units below 26 degrees Celsius during the summer without passing on costs to residents and tenants. Dr. Henry Swoboda, an emergency physician with Kingston Health Sciences Center, also spoke before council, stating that this is a necessary step to protect public health.
I've seen firsthand the devastating impact of extreme heat, and I have seen what happens when we fail to prepare for predictable disasters due to upfront costs. We see costs in human lives as well as downstream dollar costs that overwhelm our healthcare system. When patients come into the ER with heat illness, I often hear two things from them and their families. One is, I didn't think it was that hot, and two is, we just checked on them and thought they were all right. These statements reveal a dangerous reality. Heat can be sneaky. This isn't just about discomfort, it's about life and death.
A report by the Intact Center on Climate Adaption at Waterloo University named Kingston as one of the Canadian cities projected to be most exposed to extreme heat as the impacts of climate change become more prevalent. According to the report from city staff, very few municipalities in Ontario have a standalone adequate temperature bylaw, with Hamilton and Toronto currently exploring their options to enact a bylaw which would include rental units that do not currently have air conditioning. Robert Mello with the Kingston Property Rental Association, representing about 75 members with thousands of rental units, came to speak against the motion, claiming that the cost to landlords would be too high.
Possible solutions must involve all levels of government providing incentives to make necessary capital improvements. We must work together to meet these challenges. This downloading of costs onto landlords is unsustainable. We do know that there's a number of older buildings here. And of course, a lot of these buildings have tenants that have been there for 10 years and more, and they're paying, you know, somewhere between $600 and $1,000 per month rent when hydro alone, this doesn't include sewer and water, hydro alone is $300 in the month. So it's basically going to push them out of the business. And so the low rents, it's just going to be another excuse to just abandon the property or sell it there's going to have an effect on housing for sure in the city, guaranteed.
Mello also stressed that the majority of units do not currently have air conditioning installed. When it came time for counselors to discuss, the city's lawyer Jenna Morley warned council that the city may not have the authority to mandate a maximum temperature in all rental units, as air conditioning is not included in landlord obligations in existing provincial legislation.
I'm going to decline to provide any further legal advice in open session this evening, but I would certainly advise council against hastily enacting a bylaw on uncertain jurisdictional grounds without an appreciation for the knock-on effects of that bylaw.
In the end, amendments were made to the motion, and it was decided that council will await the results of the push for this legislation in Toronto and Hamilton, or changes to provincial legislation that would allow the municipality to assuredly move forward with this mandate for all residential units. Councillor Vincent Shinani had the following comment on the amendments.
It could end up being where, say, these other municipalities that are trying to implement this, that they may run into roadblocks or do something like not properly, where we can evaluate that and say, okay, well, this is the mistakes that were made there. Then if we try a different way, learn from their mistakes, or maybe it's successful and then we'd be like, okay, and we could just duplicate it.
Councillor Brandon Tozzo wrapped up his time stating the following.
I think if we vote this motion, we're going to frustrate both people who are advocating for tenants, and we're going to frustrate landlords who are not quite happy with this. Everyone's going to walk out of the room a little bit unhappy, which says to me what the municipality is doing tonight is adequate.
The amended motion passed with a vote of 12-1. With Councillor Gary Osteroff opposed. City staff will report back to Council in the coming months with the necessary amending bylaw to provide a new maximum temperature for residential units with air conditioning systems. Other actions in the motion include advocacy to the provincial government and the development of a heat response strategy in partnership with the Southeast Health Unit. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is the latest Queen's Campus news updates on Campus Corner.
Hello folks, this is Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. This week, the Queen's Bangladeshi Student Association, commonly known as QBSA, is celebrating International Mother Language Day on Friday, 21st February. Today in studio, we have Mr. Rakib Jahan with us. He is the Cultural Secretary of QBSA, and he will be talking to us about this event. Hello, Mr. Rakib. Thanks for joining us in studio today. Can you give our audience a quick introduction of QBSA and the upcoming International Mother Language Day event?
Well, QBSA is a organization to bringing a sense of community within the Queen's Bangladeshi students community, and to help them to go through their academic life, their professional life, and most probably social life as well. And also, we try to organize and celebrate Bangladeshi culture here in distance. So I think that that's what QBSA do mostly. And in terms of the International Mother Language Day, it's mostly for to celebrate the linguistic and cultural diversity, which is very much important to Queen's community, and also for the Bangladeshi students community, it holds so much values.
Right, that sounds amazing. So we do understand that Queen's is a university that embraces native languages and promotes new linguistics. But why would you say that the International Mother Language Day is important for the Queen's community and particularly the QBSA?
It's because of it actually honors and it pays respect to the sacrifices made by those who fought for the Bengali language during the language movement in 1952. It's an unique event at the history where people were sacrificing their life for their mother tongue. So it's a day to reflect on that important day and also to preserve your native language and to raise awareness for your own mother tongue or native language, for your identity, culture, and communication.
Yes, I hold the deepest respect for those who were part of the 1952 language movement. Sliding our conversation to a bit lighter mood, we were speaking of the event off-air and I got a little scoop of the food lineup. Looks like a fantastic spread of Bengali cuisine is on the menu, but aside from the delicious bites, let's talk about entertainment. What can attendees expect from this year's event?
Well, they can expect cultural expression through various types of performances, speeches, then interactive activities to show, and there will be participants from all over, from different types of cultures, nations, and they will represent their own culture through their traditional music. It can be music, dance, and poetry. So it will be they can expect a good type of variational cultures. So I think that it will be a great opportunity for them to engage with a larger culture or a larger community of Queens.
Right. So if a Queens student wants to get involved in the performances, how may they do so?
It's very easy. You have to come to the QBS Facebook page or official Instagram pages, that where you can get the link to register for the performance, and there are performance for the kids as well and teenagers. There is an art exhibition, and for the adult ones, they can participate through dance, music, and also if any kind of performance are welcomed. And there will be some indigenous performances also. So we are trying to be very much inclusive through that. So there will be a lot of performances.
Amazing. So lastly, how do you see this event growing in the future?
Well, as it is an international event, and like almost from 1999, it has been observing throughout the world. So I will hope that its scope will be more larger than now. Like Queens, all communities will participate in this event, and as well, like in school and colleges all over the Canada and Queens University, they will try to observe and organize this event to have a sense of community culture and to represent their own culture. So I think it's a very big opportunity as well for them. So as the community is growing, so I think that can be a way to go.
Great. And that brings us to the very last part of our segment. So any final message for students thinking of attending?
I think don't hesitate, and it's an incredible opportunity to be connected and to represent yourself, and you will know about each other as well. So it will be a very fun event as well. So, and it's also very meaningful. So I think why not? So come, and we are here to welcome you.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Rakib, for coming to our studio and talking about the upcoming event. It was a pleasure to have you in our studio. Folks, we were in conversation with Mr. Rakib Jahan. He is the cultural director of Queens Bangladesh Student Association, and they are organizing an event on 21st February in account of the International Mother Language Day. And that's a wrap. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queens Campus. Stay tuned for more updates. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the City of Kingston. After a snowy weekend in the City of Kingston, Monday, February 17th, Family Day brings a daytime high of -8 with a 30% chance of flurries, overnight low dropping to a chilly -18. Tuesday, February 18th, we're going to see sunny conditions with a high of -8 and an overnight low of -17. Wednesday, February 19th, daytime high of -7, overnight low of -15, and it will be sunny throughout the day. Thursday, February 20th, we're going to see slightly warmer conditions with a daytime high of -6, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of flurries, and an overnight low of -11. Friday, February 21st, we will see a daytime high of -4 with an overnight low of -12 and a mix of sun and cloud throughout the day. Saturday, February 22nd, slightly warmer, daytime high of -2, overnight low of -11 with cloudy conditions. And Sunday, February 23rd, daytime high of -2 with an overnight low of -7. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, February 17th, 2025. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street. Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. In terms of parking disruptions, bear in mind the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrade to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work began in February 2024 and is set to conclude in July of 2025. Other road delays and closures you should be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abidon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with events coming up on Monday, the play Big Ticket by Jim Gerard will have its 12th performance at the Grand Theatre, with doors closing at 7:30. Tickets are available on the Grand's website. Riverhead Brewing Company will be hosting their Logger and Joggers running group, with their run starting at 5:30 p.m. Also on Monday, both One-Eyed Jacks and The Brass will host their weekly trivia night starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, Runner's Choice will be hosting their weekly run group starting at 5:25 in Berryfield Hills. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And on Tuesday, Daft Brewing is also hosting a Euchre night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, One-Eyed Jats will be hosting board game nights starting at 7. Also on Wednesday, Musiki will be hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing and making new friends. Another thing on Wednesday, Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will be hosting their trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. Next up on Thursday, Daft Brewing will be hosting Queerioke starting at 8 p.m. There's a $5 cover at the door. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, Step Africa takes the stage at the Kingston Grand Theatre, blending percussive dance, African traditions, and contemporary styles. A post-show talk with local artist Shanique Pert follows this performance, which itself starts at 7:30. Tickets are available online. Also on Friday, The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On both Saturday and Sunday, the Kingston Cat Show, hosted by the Canadian Cat Association, l'Association Feline Canadienne, will be taking place at Portsmouth Harbour from 9 to 4 p.m. Tickets are available online for those interested. Also on Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday, Boozy Bingo is returning to Tommy's Diner starting at 9 tonight. The Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will be taking place from 9 to 1 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendar. For concerts, coming up on Monday, the Club at the RCHA will be hosting the Jazz Society Monday, this week featuring Myers and Flanagan from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also on Monday, Musiki will be having the Kingston-based jazz trio, The Morning Doves, in starting at 8 p.m. And as usual, this Tuesday, the RCHA will be hosting Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam starting at 4. On Wednesday, the bands Deer Rouge and Bleecker will be playing a show at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are available online for around $25. Hotel Wolf Island will be hosting its free weekly open mic starting at 8:30 p.m. The group Choir 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 will be performing a sold-out show at the Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. For Thursday, folks can head over to Hotel Wolf Island to catch Open Season with Chris Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer from 7:45 to 9:45. Also on Thursday, the Brockville-based Indian alternative band The Sun-Dried Flies will be playing a show at the Toucan starting at 10:30. This Friday has a lot going on, with the club at the RCHA having an early performance from the Smokin' Roosters from 4 to 6, and a second performance a bit later at 8 by the group Sittin' Ducks. Tiernanog has groups booked, Elastic Band, Paula Wood, The Killdeers, and Savannah Shea on from 8:30 to 11:30. Also on Friday, the Royal Tavern has Savannah Shea again on from 5 to 7, and then the group No Limits from 9 to 12. Hotel Wolf Island has the group Good Co. and musician Daryl Hannah set to play starting at 8:30, and the Toucan is hosting Grevin Band starting at 10:30. On Saturday, the Kingston-based band The Backsteps will be performing their final show at the Mansion starting at 8. This performance has a $15 cover charge. Kevin and the Kitchen Sink will be on at the Tiernanog at 9. Also on Saturday, alt-rock group Finger 11 will be playing at the Grand starting at 7:30. Tickets for their show are available online for around $44.50. On Sunday, the Finnish string quartet Metaphor will be performing at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 2:30 to 4:30. Tickets for this performance are going for between $15 and $72 and are available online. Also on Sunday, Orchestra Kingston will be performing at the Spire starting at 2:30, with tickets going for $25 and free entry for those under 16. And finally, Savannah Shea will be playing at Musiki from 4 to 6 p.m. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on our Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.